Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento is balancing its books for the upcoming year's budget. The finalized proposal is due in less than 2 weeks and will help shape the final budget, which is presented by Howard Chan. He's the Sacramento's city manager. The new fiscal year starts July 1st, which means in the coming months, it will be a huge focus for fiscal negotiations and fine-tuning. Some Sacramentans might be unfamiliar with how the budget is made, how it's spent, or what the process even looks like. Cap Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb has been following the process and put together an explainer. Kristen joins us to discuss where the money comes from and how residents can be part of the budget process. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Vicky.
Okay, so we often hear calls from residents about where and most importantly, how the city council should spend its funding. But what is the timeline for approving the annual budget and who's involved in all of this?
Like you mentioned, the new fiscal year begins July 1st. 2 months before that, by May 1st, the city charter requires the city manager to send the council a budget proposal. Howard Chan is the one who presents the budget, but part of the finance department is responsible for forecasting the money coming in and the money the city will spend. Once the budget proposal comes out, the council discusses it in public hearings. They ask questions, request changes, and eventually vote to approve a budget by the end of June.
Okay, so the city council is really the most visible part in this process, but there's a lot of city agencies that benefit and also take part in this planning process. So how are different city agencies involved in all of this?
Yeah, around March and April, departments from utilities to fire meet with the city manager's office. They talk about any issues for the upcoming year. That way they can make changes and update the department's budget compared to the one approved last year. I spoke with Assistant City Manager Lainey Milstein about this. She says it's important for staff from all departments to help because they are experts on their own operations, costs, and specific funding.
Yeah, Kristen, last year you reported on one specific piece of the city budget, and that was essentially that Sacramento had a record high police department spending plan. What amount did law enforcement and other departments receive in funding?
Yes, the council approved a $224 million budget for the police department last June. That was $17 million higher than their budget from the year before. And for this current budget that's ending this June, that spending for police accounts for 30% of the general and Measure U funds. Those funds cover most of the city's day-to-day operations. For comparison, the fire department made up 23% with $173 million. Meanwhile, the youth parks and community enrichment department spending accounts for 6%.
Okay, so then where does all of this revenue for the city come from?
Taxes are the largest revenue source for the city's general and Measure U funds. Which taxes bring in the most money can depend on the economy, according to the assistant city manager. But right now, property tax generates the most revenue, followed by sales tax, business operations tax, and utilities users tax. For context, the city has an approved budget of $1.45 billion for this fiscal year ending in June. Taxes made up 46% of that, or $667 million. The city also gets money from charges, fees and services, other government agencies, licenses and permits, fines and interest.
Okay. Well, the last few years was a pretty big change. There was this one-time use funding due to the pandemic. There was federal aid coming through from the American Rescue Plan Act and also the Coronavirus Aid, Relief and Economic Security Act. But, I mean, there's not going to be any more COVID-related funding relief coming in. So how will the end of this funding affect the city's budget and the programs?
So the city still has time to spend all of the $112 million it got from the American Rescue Plan Act. The deadline to use all of that one-time funding is the end of 2026. If you're interested in seeing how the city is spending that ARPA money, the city posts it on an online hub. And generally, the pandemic relief money has helped the city make up for lost revenue and contribute to programs like food justice grants, guaranteed income, and affordable housing projects. But Milstein said the city won't be able to continue some programs as federal COVID relief runs out. Here she is explaining an impact.
As that recedes in availability and as interest rates increase, we're starting to see some changes in our revenues now, and our consultants and advisors and those who opine on where the economy might be going are talking about a slowdown of what nature. We aren't sure yet. We did see in our last quarter sales tax a little bit of a decline, which leads us to say maybe not substantial growth, but we're watching it carefully to see how it's going to roll out over the next few quarters.
Okay, so that's one perspective, right? So what did government watchdog organizations say about the one-time federal funding running out?
I spoke with W. Bruce Lee, who's president of the Sacramento Taxpayer Association. It's a nonprofit that aims to empower residents to hold governments accountable. He said the city being unable to continue some programs it funded with COVID money is something to be concerned about. Generally, once governments start a program with one-time funding, he said people expect it to continue. So once the special money runs out, Lee says that expectation can put pressure on the general fund. Here's his perspective.
We need to be careful using one-time money for long-term expenses. Once you create a new program, it's sometimes hard to get rid of it. And maybe a policy to be pondered would be if you start a new thing, maybe you need to end an old thing.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Cap Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb about the city's budget process. So we also know that there are public hearings on the budget. They are live streamed, recorded, they're posted online, and watching them is really one way we can follow along with this process. But what other ways can residents actively participate in budget discussions or even give constructive feedback to the city council?
Folks have a few options to give formal public comment. They can speak in person, call in remotely over Zoom, or send written comments online. Because of the 2-minute speaking time limit, Lee recommends people prioritize their points and send additional thoughts in a written comment. Written comments are sent to the council, and anyone can see them on the city website. To prepare to give constructive feedback, Lee also suggests comparing the proposal to the previous budget. And instead of trying to be an expert on everything, he encourages monitoring certain subjects, like, say, police or fire.
Yeah, it can be a lot. And that's an understatement. The city also launched this $1 million participatory budgeting pilot program. And this was, you know, roughly a year ago. So what is participatory budgeting and where does this pilot stand?
It's essentially a form of direct democracy. It aims to empower residents by allowing them to decide how to spend taxpayer dollars in their communities. Other cities in the state that have done similar programs include Oakland and Vallejo. The first phase of Sacramento's pilot launched in April 2022 when the program asked people to submit ideas on how to spend $500,000 in South Sacramento and that same amount in North Sacramento. Since then, residents of those areas got to vote on proposed projects, and community-based organizations applied for funding to implement the ones that won. In the coming months, the city needs to distribute funding for those projects, including a mentoring program and a transportation van for unhoused youth.
Okay, so given that the city's population is roughly, you know, a little more than 500,000, and from one end to the next, I know they divvied it up between north and south, but there are so many neighborhoods and they each have different needs and some are more affluent than others. So how does this pilot program make sure that they're taking into account all voices from the city?
Yeah, so they specifically looked at some demographic data and picked those areas because of the inequities in those neighborhoods. And Deborah Otto-Kent is a member of the Measure U Community Advisory Committee who worked on the pilot and its rule book. Here she is explaining how early in the process they made equity a priority.
It was a stated intent to try to increase awareness, understanding, outreach, and engagement to residents who traditionally, you know, don't engage in providing input into the city budget or routinely call into city council meetings or necessarily belong to established advocacy groups that, you know, weigh in formally on at various aspects of local government budgets.
So are there actually plans for the city to continue this participatory budgeting, which is a pilot, once it concludes?
Not right now. The city council would need to approve more funding to continue participatory budgeting after this pilot ends. But the Measure U committee has expressed interest in continuing the program. Last month, they discussed an evaluation report on the pilot so far. It can be found on the city website. And for future participatory budgeting, a consultant recommended the city set a more realistic timeline and clarify the responsibilities of people involved.
Okay, so outside of this pilot project and the public hearings, what other ways can residents weigh in on how the city invests their money?
Absolutely. You can talk to your representatives, the mayor, and your council member about your thoughts on how the city should invest its resources any time of the year. Elected officials are supposed to advocate for the communities they represent, and budget discussions aren't limited to just between May and June. Here's Otto Kent on how personal conversations and testimonies matter.
There is power in two or three people talking with their neighbor and calling their council member and sharing their story and bringing the narrative to some of these established committees and their council members about the impact of what is needed in their communities. And to me, that is aligned with the budget process in a way, but outside of kind of the normal, here's the formal May to June process, and it goes to this committee, that committee.
Yeah, essentially, you know, being engaged in what's going on in your neighborhood and in your city and taking an active role in it as well. There's so much that's going on when it comes to the budget. When can we expect the proposed budget to be presented to the city council?
The budget is due on or before Monday, May 1st, and the Budget and Audit Committee, which is made up of the mayor and three council members, is scheduled to meet the next day on May 2nd. That committee will likely discuss the proposed budget then.
Kristen, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It is a very nice FAQ. That is CAP Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb discussing the city's budget process. Up next, the Great Migration was one of the largest movements of people in U.S. history. A professor shares how the migration of African Americans from the Jim Crow South shaped the Sacramento Valley. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.